Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Now, I have a few friends from Philadelphia. I have a lot of enemies from Philadelphia, but they all agreed. There was one thing everyone agreed in, that the trade deadline was a win. Now, I was the only one that pushed back on this. I was the only one that said, wait a minute, hold on a sec here before we anoint the Philadelphia 76ers, the team that's going to win the East. I'm not so sure about that, Tobias Harris. Well, see, the problem with this, the Sixers lost to the Celtics. It was a game that was somewhat publicized. We don't often talk about regular season basketball in the NBA because it's much more fun to talk about trade rumors and tampering and all that stuff. But doing the moonlighting job earlier, I was anticipating, like everyone else, that the Celtics were going to do a faceplant against the Sixers. And surprise, surprise, surprise. The ones that really won were the bookmaker because the public was loading up. They were piling on trucks of money, as much as a regular season game you could say that about, but loving them some 76ers, and in the end the Celtics won, and it was an amazing throwback performance by Gordon Hayward, who had been left for dead on the side of the road, and rightfully so, the way he had played this year in Boston. And the third game, think about this, the NBA season has about a month and a half to go before the playoffs. Gordon Hayward's making like $30 million a year, and this is the third time this year that he had scored over 20 points for the Celtics. The third time! That's not really a return on investment, but the fact that the Celtics won, now, the question, we're going to frame it this way, real quick, because I got to get some other stuff here. Is this more impressive for the Celtics or more embarrassing for the 76ers? I'm going to say it's more embarrassing for the 76ers, because they're trying to build up this mythology about how they are invincible. And the guys in Philly are trying to sell the fact that the media in Philadelphia, this is the most talented team outside of the Golden State Warriors, that their starting lineup now, they are complete. There's not a weakness there, that they got Jimmy Butler a couple months ago, and he's great. Now they got Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid, and go down the list. They got all these guys. Line them up. Line them up. They got my guy Boban Marjanovic on the bench, like Frankenstein, good to go. So I'm gonna take the position that while it was important for the Celtics, and my friends in Boston are fired up because they think, wait a minute, the Celtics are supposed to suck and all this, and maybe they will still suck in the end after they blew a 28-point lead to the Clippers last week and the game against the Lakers where they lost on a Rondo buzzer beater. But this is more damage to the Sixers because, again, what are they trying to build up? The Sixers are trying to build up the perception and make it the reality that they can beat everybody and all this stuff. And they, of course, now they lost to the Celtics in the playoffs last year. Philadelphia did. But you say, well, you just throw that away. You toss that aside. But this is the new Sixers, and they're loaded up. They are loaded and ready to go. And you know what? They still lost. They still lost. The Celtics had played with the kind of energy that they had not played with in recent games, even though they had won 10 of 11 prior to stumbling and bumbling in those last two games last week. All right, meanwhile, now, outside of that, the story here that caught my attention involves his airness. We're going to do throwback radio. It's going to be a flashback to 1990s radio. And it involves Michael Jordan, because Michael Jordan was asked about the story of the week in the NBA, which is these offensively gaudy performances by James Harden, who has a streak of 30 consecutive 30-point games. You know how many foul shots that is per game for James Harden to get to 30 points per game? It's amazing for the Rockets. And you had Russell Westbrook, who's got 10 straight triple-doubles in a row for Oklahoma City. So this is an amazing accomplishment for both these players. And Michael Jordan in a news conference to welcome the All-Star game to Charlotte, North Carolina. Jordan was asked about this. No, it was mostly a pep rally. It was mostly a pep rally for Michael Jordan to celebrate the fact that Charlotte is hosting the All-Star game. Like, this is apparently a big deal, the All-Star game, even though the players don't take it seriously and all that stuff. And I don't know how many people actually come to Charlotte for the NBA All-Star game, but it's reasonable to think that some people show up. Some people show up. So when Jordan was asked which one was harder, whether it was the 30 consecutive 30-point games or the 10 triple-doubles, Jordan had options. He could have A, picked James Harden, the 30 points in 30 consecutive games. That would have been A. B, he could have gone with Russell Westbrook's 10 triple-doubles in a row, or C, none of the above, right? C, none of the above. Let's just say Michael Jordan did not seem all that impressed. Did you hear what he said? Well, let's go to the audio tape. Here is Michael Jordan describing, again, the question. Let me set it up. Maybe you'll hear it, maybe you won't, but he was asked which one is harder to achieve.
Which is harder from
yeah.
a player standpoint?
That's right.
Six championships, by all means.
The crowd laughed there. The media laughed in the background. That's right. Jordan mentioned the six championships, by all means, the two three-peats in the 1990s, and then he played for Birmingham in between. Great minor league baseball player for the Birmingham Barons in that era. All right, so let's discuss. Now, the question on this one, do you agree with Michael Jordan that the six championships are harder than the individual accomplishments? Now, I'm going to actually push back on Jordan. I'm going to shove back on Jordan. I'm going to say that these are equal. I'm going to say that these accomplishments are equal, and I'll walk you through this. Now, my thoughts on this, you've got intoxicating. You've got that. You also have, in addition to intoxicating, you've got complain. And if that was not enough, you've got the gray area. And we'll mix all this together. Now, A, Michael Jordan, when you ask a great player about other players' accomplishments, they become compromised. Jordan has a lot of bravado. He's a proud man. And clearly Michael Jordan is going to pick something he did, right? I mean, this is a little bit was having some fun with the media and goofing around and all that. So there was a little bit of that from Michael Jordan. But obviously part of it is, hey, what about me? Right? So he's biased. That's why you need someone like me. You need me to come in, a fair and impartial voice in the night, to analyze this. And championships are in many ways, when you think about this, they get overblown as individual accomplishments. I often talk about this, right place at the right time, right? And a lot of stupid people don't understand that. It's all the macro Maller, what's wrong with you, you bloody moron. They go on and on about it. They get all emotional. They're very impassioned about championships and how that's an individual accomplishment. But much of it is the right place at the right time. Like there's a lot of gray area involved in this. Karl Malone, in his era, one of the greats of all time, the mailman, he never won a championship. Charles Barkley, wonderfully talented basketball player, great, fun, entertaining as a player and all that stuff, goofball on TV, he's the clown. He never won. Patrick Ewing, tremendous, never won. It's not a player-centric award. Championships are team awards. So comparing what Harden and Westbrook have done to six championships, while it seems apples and oranges because these are individual accolades, it really isn't. And I'll explain why. All right? Because the second part of this, let me walk you through why this is actually very similar. All right, let me make my case here. And now, before I start, I will preference this by saying that I have been called a wacko. I have been called a psycho for my positions on Harden and Westbrook over the last couple of years. That I have been critical of these guys. James Harden, after all, his signature move is getting fouled. Russell Westbrook is often at his worst with the game on the line. He plays reckless, uncontrolled basketball late in games. That has what he is. He's done that his entire career in OKC. Despite that, Here's why James Harden's streak of 30 consecutive 30-point games with the Rockets and Westbrook's 10 triple-doubles in a row for the Thunder are equal to 6 championships, because players for both Houston and Oklahoma City had to take a back seat. These are actually team accomplishments. They're not individual accomplishments. Russell Westbrook and James Harden both have the latitude to do whatever the hell they want. Right? The Rocket players famously stand around and play tiddlywinks, and they play trivia games on their smartphones while Harden dribble, 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 whistle. Dribble, dribble, whistle. That's like a new rap song. Dribble, 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 whistle. That's how James Harden plays basketball. He dribbles, and then he waits to get called. There's a foul call, and occasionally he'll travel and he'll shoot a jump shot every once in a while. That's how he plays. All right, that is how he plays. And the Rocket players, as they sit around, they don't complain about it. And the same thing goes in Oklahoma City. Now, well, what about the assists? Well, Thunder players are famous for helping to inflate Russell Westbrook's rebounding totals, deferring to him. There's some great videos on YouTube of Oklahoma City players treating the basketball like a live hand grenade when it comes off the glass if Russell Westbrook is in the area. Like, if there was a live hand grenade flying through the air, you would not run to touch it. You would not want to touch the hand grenade, and they treat the basketball like that if Russell Westbrook is in the neighborhood. They want him to get the rebound so he can enhance his statistics. Now, the last thing on this, both James Harden and Russell Westbrook also have another thing in common. These streaks are not resonating with the casual basketball fan. And we talked about this a little bit over the weekend here, this startup, fledgling, boring professional football league. This spring football league actually did the same rating or better than a game featuring James Harden and Russell Westbrook. And while these streaks are statistically impressive, they are not intoxicating the style of basketball these guys are playing. And neither one of these are a shoe-in for the MVP. In fact, Westbrook isn't even mentioned considering his shooting stats. It's Paul George from the Thunder gets mentioned. Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks, right up there. And you look at, you say, well, wait a minute. Well, okay, so Harden and Westbrook likely won't win the MVP. Golden State is the presumptive favorite to win the championship as a team accomplishment. And then the reason for that, much of that is, well, they're better, but also the style of play. Westbrook and Harden, the Achilles heels when it comes time for the playoffs. You can get away with a lot of stuff during the watered-down regular season when people aren't paying attention, but suddenly when the playoffs start, you become distraught. You're tormented because the things you were able to do in the regular season you can no longer do in the playoffs, and it becomes a problem. Either way, listen, people would rather talk about Anthony Davis taking a bowel movement than they would about the actual games, many of the games themselves. All right, it's the Ben Maller Show on Fox. We say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas Solid Gold Garcia.
Let me go back to the Celtics. You let off your Mallard
monologue. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that, Eddie. A great win for the Celtics. And that is more embarrassing for the Sixers than it is impressive for the Celtics, because the Celtics were in the Eastern Finals without Kyrie Irving last year.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask you about. Yes. Kyrie Irving.
Yes.
I know that I am not plugged into the NBA, but I do follow it because of the job.
You're against your will.
So Kyrie Irving, every time he doesn't play, they seem to play well. Am I wrong in that?
Yes, you are wrong. That is the perception being reality. The Celtics actually are, I think they're 7 games over 500 without Kyrie Irving. They're 9 games over with Kyrie Irving. So it's close. It's close.
Okay.
And he didn't play against the Clippers, and they blew a 28-point lead in that game.
So is it incorrect to say that Kyrie Irving doesn't make that much of a difference?
Well, it's a different style of play. I would argue that watching the Celtics with Kyrie Irving, he is he's almighty, all-powerful, omnipresent, and it does take away from the entire way they play. They can win with Kyrie Irving. They obviously have won with him,
But they can also win without him, it seems. And would you say that when it comes to playoff basketball and the style of playoff basketball, are they better off without him?
Well, they were last year.
Yeah.
They were last year. They were better off last year without
so
Kyrie.
So the obvious question is, why don't they trade him?
Well, they can't trade him. The trade deadline is passed, Eddie. It's over with.
Okay, why didn't they trade him? Or why do they want to re-sign him? He's obviously going to cost them a boatload of money. Why not re-sign somebody else?
Well,
or sign somebody else.
They could do that, but Kyrie Irving is one of the better players in the NBA. And
that's what I hear, but...
He did win a championship. Well, he was a central figure in that. Which really, you know, that's another thing. Draymond Green, if he doesn't kick a guy in the nuts, Kyrie doesn't win a championship. He doesn't have that on his resume. Because Draymond was watching an A's Rangers game while the NBA Finals.
Yeah,
was
I remember that.
It was one of the great moments in NBA history. Justin says the worst monologue ever. Ooh. He says to compare those two goofs to Michael Jordan. All I am pointing out is that those are team accomplishments. Championships are team accomplishments. That's how it goes. That's it. That's all I'm saying. All right. It is the Ben Maller Show. If you would like,
so you're saying, just to clarify, as a Celtics fan, which is what you are.
That's clearly, yes.
Because the Clippers,
the Clippers have
pulled the plug on the season.
You think the
Celtics should keep Kyrie Irving? I think they're better off with him.
I think they are going to keep Kyrie Irving because they believe that is the ticket to get Anthony Davis. So they think that's a combo dish.
You agree with that?
If they're going to win a championship, here's the way I look at it. All right. First of all, if you have Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis, you are in a great position to win a championship. The problem I have is that both those guys are hurt all the time. They're delicate little flowers. You know how I feel about guys that are injured all the time, Eddie. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
They're not reliable. I don't think
anyone can stand it. You know?
Well, no, I think some people put up with it. I mean, some people are like, oh, it's okay. It's all right. It's a long season. We'll let them miss games for load management and make excuses for players like that. By the way, the Lakers lost to Atlanta, and I didn't start the show with that. You know that, Eddie?
Well, I know.
The Lakers lost to Atlanta.
It'll be there at some point, yeah.
Well, it's on my list, but yeah. I did not start with it. You know Atlanta's one of the worst teams in the NBA, and they beat the Lakers?
I did know that, yeah.
Did you know that?
Even my limited NBA knowledge knows that.
So anyway, the Celtics, the mind of Danny Ainge is you keep Kyrie Irving, you bring in Anthony Davis, you then smother him with love. You throw, cupcakes at him and donuts and make him feel so loved in Boston that he wants to stay in Boston. And then you, in theory, because you have two of the great players, you win a championship. The other option is to let Kyrie Irving go and build around Jason Tatum and this ensemble cast. And that's the other option they have. Some think that Kyrie Irving is going to leave anyway. I took some calls on the moonlighting gig. They were like ready to say goodbye to Kyrie. But those were people that were just waiting because they were waiting for the Celtics to win without Kyrie again. And then they were like, they got it's called the pile on. It's called gang tackling, Eddie. The technique, in football,
yes.
You're supposed to gang tackle to stop the running back.
I have heard, yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So in many ways, the Cold War, the hostility continues between the Major League Baseball big poobahs in New York and the Union, also in New York. And there are veiled threats. There's a lot of propaganda and other things being used here. And the result is nothing. Nothing. The result is nothing. Now, we continue to chronicle Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, who are still available. Spring training now. Some teams heading into their third day of spring training. Games are going to start next week, and Bryce Harper and Machado have not signed with anyone. This long national nightmare must come to an end. Well, we had some revelations, which do qualify. They do qualify these things as more propaganda in the Cold War. The executive director of the Major League Baseball Players Association, do you know who this person is? You do not. All right. It's a person named Tony Clark. Tony Clark had a major hole in his swing when he played professional baseball for the Detroit Tigers and the Mets and some other teams back many, many years ago. And he's now settled in as the face of the Major League Baseball Players Association. And he claimed, he had a couple things to say. First of all, he said, as soon as Bryce Harper and Manny Machado sign, essentially the floodgates will open up and you get paid, you get paid, you get paid. Over there in the back, you get paid. That's the story that Tony Clark, the clearly biased here, he's got some skin in the game, is trying to sell with Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. He said, it is a valid question. He says fans are interested too. What is happening, he said, is not beneficial for the industry of baseball. So if you expected the head of the players union to say that the reduction in salaries is good for baseball, you are wrong. You are wrong. So now again, it depends on what you believe. Now there was another tentacle to this story. And it started with one of those slimy baseball insider guys. I would say the slimiest of them all, John Heyman, who I used to get along with, but he became a weasel somewhere along the way. Maybe he's always been a weasel. I just didn't see it. But he spread some gossip. He said that there was a $250 million 8-year contract that Manny Machado was offered by the Chicago White Sox. He says, well, it may or may not be close, but I think it might be lower, higher than $175, but lower than $250 million. And he said, just an educated guess. Well, most people think that John Heyman's just a sock puppet for the agents and that he just regurgitates whatever text messages he gets from the agents. That's how this game is played. Well, Tony Clark did something that doesn't rarely happen. Again, he's the executive director of the Major League Baseball Players Association. He responded to a tweet, to a comment posted by a baseball insider, the one I just mentioned about Machado saying the offer was between $175 million but lower than $250 million. And here is the quote from Tony Clark. He said, quote, whoever is initiating these rumors has an obvious agenda and complete lack of respect for the free agency process, close quote, from Tony Clark. All right, so I wanted to talk about this because, again, I always get a kick out of it when people who have an agenda, like Tony Clark, say that other people have an agenda and then complain. I always get a kick out of that because we get it. Everyone's biased. There are no people that are not biased on this type of thing. All right, so the question is, does Tony Clark have a point? Well, obviously, I say no. I'm going to push back on this. My thoughts, you've got the dinosaur, the boogeyman, and you also have entitled. And we will combine all this stuff and we'll mix it together. Now, first of all, the idea that rumors being spread by baseball insiders, which obviously come from agents, most of them, the idea that that is somehow a lack of respect for the free agency process is blatantly wrong. It's also outdated thinking. And Tony Clark is not that old a guy, but he sounds like a dinosaur. And there's a lot of this in baseball. Baseball's tried to change a lot. They're trying to get more of an online presence, more of a social media presence. They've done a lot in the last year or so to try to entice younger people to fall in love with baseball, those that maybe are on the fence and could go either way. They're trying to do that. But the idea that this kind of dialogue is horrific and it's a lack of respect for the free agency process, those are his words, is you could not be more wrong. It's good for the sport. Any kind of conversation about baseball is good. It's good speculation. Public loves this kind of stuff. Major League Baseball should try to take a page out of the NBA. Now, they don't have to go full NBA. We don't need to hear about load management and tamper. We don't hear about all that. But the drama sells. The drama sells. And so rather than embrace it, you've got people that work in the industry who are like, no, this is bad. This is not right. And Tony Clark knows. He was a player. He dealt with agents. He knows. Now, he wasn't a superstar, but Tony Clark, the guy that runs the Players Union, he knows how this all goes down. He's not naive to that, so don't play stupid. You're not stupid. Now, the second thing here, and this is the great divide. We referenced this on a previous edition of the show. It really is the boogeyman. It's the boogeyman. You have feelings versus facts. The players feel like they should get $400 million. Remember when this all started, Scott Boras, who I like, he began this by saying it's Harper's Bazaar, right? Harper's Bazaar. He made this whole big to-do with the winter meetings and all this stuff. Had a whole song and dance routine there. at the, I think it was the GM meetings. And so everyone got in their head that Bryce Harper's going to get $400 million and Manny Machado's going to get $350 million, and this is how it's going to go. And that's the feeling. The facts are that your market value is what your what the market sets your value at. The market has changed. The market's changed. It's no longer a seller's market. It is a buyer's market. Now, whether this is a market correction because of economics, I don't think that's the case. I believe this is a market correction based on analytics. All right? They realized that they had an epiphany. They had a come-to-Jesus meeting. And they realized, wait a minute, we control ballplayers for the first 6 years of their career. They can't go anywhere. It's indentured servitude. They can't be free agents and all that. So you know what we got to do? We got to fill our rosters with players who are in the first 6 years of their contract. And then after that, you know what? We don't have to pay that many of them that much money. And the attendance doesn't spike up. Now, that's where you'll get a disagreement, because I've had conversations in the past with prominent people in baseball who will claim that more fans go up to the ballpark to watch certain players. I don't know if those numbers are still accurate or not. I know at one point that was the case, that the headline star, that led to increased attendance. And maybe it's changed now. The attendance seems to be going down, down, down. How low can you go in baseball in recent years? All right, last point here. So you've got the guy that runs the players' union, this Tony Clark, the MLBPA executive director. He's complaining about leaks, lack of respect in the game. So you've got that. You also have Justin Verlander and other players fighting back, very upset, using their platforms on social media to try to push back. In fact, there's been, by baseball standards, a bit of an onslaught, and it certainly seems choreographed. I don't know if you're like me, and I follow this stuff. Maybe I pay way too much attention to it, but it seems choreographed to me. Like, it's like just out of the blue, this all kind of lined up. And these are guys that aren't free agents. Verlander, for example, is he's the big one. Justin Verlander's been, he was answering Feeding the Monsters on Twitter, which you should never do. And he did it, but the reigning National League MVP also out in front, right? From your Milwaukee Brewers. He's like, hey, wait a minute here. We got something. We got an issue. He was fighting back with the old Marlins president who now works in the media. So you got all kinds of stuff going on trying to win and curry public favor from the players. But the question is it going to work? I mean, this is one of those stories where you don't want anyone to win. Like, I don't really want the owners to win. I mean, who wants a bunch of billionaires to win? But I don't really want the players to win either. I want no one to win. I would like both of them to lose. Because the players come across as entitled, selfish, greedy. You cannot relate. I don't care if you say, well, the owners are worth billions of dollars. You cannot relate to the average person if you've turned down $250 or $300 million and you then say, this is an injustice. And you intimate that it's an injustice. No one's going to have empathy for you, nor should they have empathy. Well, I say no one, and there's always that 1% or 2% of super Kool-Aid drinking fanboys and girls that no matter what their heroes say, they are going to back them up, right? No matter what. Go on and on. But you got Christian Yelich, you've got Justin Verlander, and others who are trying to win public favor. Well, it's working, but they're trying. Give it a shot. All right, it's the Ben Maller Show on Fox. We say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas Solid Gold Garcia.
Wasn't this inevitable at some point? I know the salaries always go up, but it seemed like, you know, baseball salaries were always so outrageous that at some point there was going to be a leveling off period, kind of, right? I mean, is that where we are at this point?
Are you comparing this to the housing market, Eddie, where house prices go up and then eventually the bubble bursts, right? Like even in the Bay Area, where you can't get a house, you can get like a studio apartment condo thing for like $1 million in parts of the Bay Area. Eventually, that's going to end, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's true. I will concede. And I like the fact that I don't hear too many people saying collusion. I hear some dopes on the internet. But I really think my theory is right here, Eddie, that this is a case of the analytics killing the amount of money being handed out. That the teams realize we don't have to pay the $30 million a year. We can get close to the same production with players that are in the first 1 to 6 years of their big league career. So why would we do that? Anyway. All right, we'll take your calls. If you would like to be part, the number 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369, and you can join the festivities. We're also on Twitter, at Ben Maller. That is at Ben Maller, and you can join the fun. Justin says that John Heyman is a douche, and he blocked me a few years ago. I actually got along with Heyman. He worked at Newsday, and he used to use my platform, my website. He wanted me to forward his gossip to help enhance his career. At least that was the way that he made it seem, or at least my thoughts on that. But I don't know what happened. Like, out of the blue, Heyman got all upset. Remember that Vikings-Saints game? It was the NFC playoff game in Minnesota, the divisional round of the playoffs. And the Vikings won because of the Saints deciding to use the Saints safety went bowling ball.
Yeah, remember that? Minneapolis Miracle.
Yeah. So I, of course, as I am known to do, Eddie, I pointed out how ridiculous that tackle attempt was by the Saints safety. And worst defensive play in the history of the NFL. And I don't think that's incorrect to say worst defensive play by Marcus Williams, the safety of the Saints. So I was pointing this out, and Heyman got all upset. I'm like, why is a baseball guy getting all upset? I was trying to think. There must be some connection. Like, he must know the family or something like that. But he got all upset. Anyway. All right. We'll take your calls. Why don't we take one right now? Let's go to Jackass Josh, who's somewhere in L.A., and he is next on Fox Sports Radio. Hello, Jackass Josh. Clear your throat. You're on the radio. Clear your throat.
Yeah, Ben, this call is dedicated to my father, my dad, who listens to your show every night, hoping that he will be able to hear me on the radio. Yeah. So he listens carefully in Sacramento.
What's your father's name? Your father's a good man. If he listens,
his name is Rob. His name is Rob.
Hi, Rob. Rob, R-O-B, capital R, Rob. And you get to hear your son on the show, Jackass Josh. Now, is he Jackass Rob? Is that his name?
He's the original, yes. He's the original. Definitely, I get it from my dad.
So he is the patriarch of the Jackass family.
He is. He's our Larry. He's our Larry David. That's who he is.
I understand.
Very close. But anyway, he's very excited because if the Sacramento Kings make the playoffs, then Jackass Josh will be in studio as promised some years ago by Ben Maller.
That was like 4 years ago or something like that. Yeah, but it doesn't apply right now. I didn't make it. It wasn't for the rest of time. It wasn't for the rest of time.
I thought it was for the rest of time.
That's why you're a jackass. No, I didn't say, all right, for the rest of my career, if the Sacramento Kings ever make the playoffs, you get to come in studio. How dare you? Now, I wouldn't mind meeting you, Jackass Josh. You seem like my kind of guy. You're a jackass. You're a curmudgeon and all that. I wouldn't have a problem with that. But not on that bet. You're not coming in here.
Okay. Well, I do believe that you're correct about the analytics because Machado sucks and Harper doesn't hit for average due to the complexities of the shift. So who wants to pay those guys $30 million a year?
Yeah, I know what you're doing. You're trying to suck up to me. I know what you're doing because you want to come in here. So now you're going to agree with my position. I understand. I know what you're doing, Jack. How's the comedy going? Are you still doing comedy? Last we talked, you were doing comedy. You still doing comedy?
I am. I've been asked to perform at a couple funerals in the coming weeks.
That's good. Always a fun place for comedy. Yeah.
I saw Koopa Loop on NBC Sports Network tonight. He was a DMX race car. Bike driver. DMX.
You ruined the punchline,
Justin
Jack. Jackass Josh, you screwed the punchline up. It's a bad job
by
you.
How did I screw it up?
Because you mispronounced what he was. That's a bad job by you.
Oh, but I never watch that type of sport because it's boring. But baseball, yeah. Baseball is back, baby.
Yo,
AJ Pollock.
Back. Yeah.
AJ Pollock gonna bring it.
So excited.
For the Dodgers.
So excited for AJ Pollock. Let me tell you, one of the great additions of all time, AJ Pollock.
So excited.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
All right, I gotta go. I'm annoyed.
But,
thank you.
Wait, but the offer still stands. The offer, right?
Well, if you want to set something up, we'll bring in here. But the Kings, I want the Kings to make the playoffs because I want to see the Lakers miss the playoffs. I think that would be a great legacy for LeBron James. That for years we always said, if LeBron James leaves the East, he's screwed. He goes to the West, and if he misses the playoffs, right? You can't even make the playoffs as the last team in, and Sacramento gets in. Wow. Wow, 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 wow.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Let's do it. Here we go.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
That's Maller to the third degree and Kubalu.
All right,
yes,
Ben.
Yes, yes, Coop. This is the part where you...
Yes, after Victor Oladipo went down with a season-ending knee injury, the Pacers lost 4 games in a row. However, they won their next 6 and counting. Do you think they're going to stay afloat in the East without him?
No, absolutely not. Sell all of your Pacers stock. Sell, sell, sell. Even if Victor Oladipo, first of all, had stayed healthy, I didn't have the Pacers as a real threat to win the East. Now, can they stay competitive? Can they tread water for a little bit? Yeah, they're treading water right now. Do they actually pose a danger to the top teams in the East? I'm going to push back on that. And secondly, Indiana has played some mid-level and bad teams in this winning streak. Teams like the Lakers, the Clippers, after they unloaded half the key players on their roster. So they are the beneficiary, the Indiana Pacers, of what I like to call the rebound effect. Teams often have unexpected spikes when a star gets hurt, but I would advise, again, if you have stock in the Pacers, sell. Sell, 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 sell. All right, next.
Ben, with the early success of the AAF, it's gotten people wondering if Tim Tebow might make a return to football. However, Steve Spurrier squashed that notion, revealing that the AAF reached out to Tebow, and he declined, saying that he plans on sticking with baseball. It's the right choice, right, Ben?
Yeah, 100%. And it's the right choice for a couple of reasons. Number one, the fact is, Tim Tebow has a confidant with the New York Mets, the GM of the Mets, that Brody Van Wagenen, the real arrogant GM of the Mets who, you know, walking around in those skinny suits and all that stuff. He's going to put Tim Tebow on the express train uptown to the big leagues. Tebow is going to be a Major League Baseball player by the end of the 2019 regular season, guaranteed, unless he gets hurt. If he stays healthy, he's in the Major League. And the AAF, the Alliance of American Football, those broadcasts produced very well. They had crowds, fans strategically placed behind the goalposts, made it seem like there was more excitement than there was in the stadiums that were mostly ghost towns and all that. But Tebow would have been the biggest star in the Spring Football League. He's much better sticking with baseball and getting in the major leagues. All right, next.
Now, apparently J.J. Watt is in line to serve as the Grand Marshal of the Daytona 500.
Really?
Yes.
Like NASCAR. Does he even fit in a NASCAR? I don't think he could fit in a NASCAR.
Probably not. Ben, have you ever been to a NASCAR race? And if so, did you enjoy it?
Yes, I have been. Not because of my free will, Koopaloop. I was assigned, a radio station I work with assigned me to cover a NASCAR. I also, years ago, I worked at FoxSports.com and I ran a rumor page, and Fox got the NASCAR rights and they wanted me to compile and aggregate a rumor page for NASCAR.
They have NASCAR rumors?
Not anymore, but they did. Yeah, oh yeah, there's rumors on drivers leaving, sponsorship changes in NASCAR. Oh yeah.
Fascinating.
Crew chiefs changing. Oh man, there's a lot of drama in NASCAR, Coop. So I compiled that and I went to, and people were very nice at NASCAR race. I had a very good time. I have nothing bad to say about the experience. It was fun. It's not my favorite thing to do, but I would go back if they invited me. All right, there we go, Koopaloop. How did we do?
You passed this edition.
That is a winner again. Another win.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, to the game we go. It is Password, the word game of the stars, brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you treat you. The teams are set. We've got me, Ben, along with Andy, Fluffy Dave, and Eddie. We have a list of words here, gentlemen, and the numbers 1 through 10. And all you have to do is pick a number. Fluffy Dave, you're going to be the team that loses, so we're going to give you a chance to go first so you can embarrass yourself right away. So pick a number between 1 and 10.
I'm going to go number 3.
When are you jumping in the water, by the way? When does that happen?
Not this Sunday, but next Sunday.
There better be video. You got to get
the
video.
The 23rd.
Video or didn't happen. Video or didn't happen.
There will be video, and it will be posted on Twitter.
All right. Go ahead, Eddie. What number do you pick?
I think you said number 3, all right. Fluffy. Number 3?
Yep.
Okay. The password is seek.
Seek. View.
No. All right. Here we go, Andy. Opportunity is knocking, Andy, in Indiana. Let's go with explore.
Discover.
No. Wow. Missed opportunity.
All right, Fluffy, we've had explore. We've had seek. How about hunt?
Man.
Take as much time as you want. Yep. Don't mind. Yeah. La, 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 la,
view?
La. No.
I think you said that the first time.
Wrong.
But you thought maybe this time it would be right.
Oh, I see.
And I like that.
Has it ever happened before like that?
Yeah. Once back
really?
In the 90s.
One time?
Yeah, once back in the
90s. Right.
Yeah. All right. Let's go.
Third time's the charm.
All right. We had
tougher day.
I went with explore. I'm going to go with probe. Probe.
Probe.
Is this thing on?
Man, I'm stumped. I'm gonna have to go to my standby, and that's horny.
Well, at least you made us laugh.
Yeah, horny is not bad, but in this case, it's not right either. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right, you want to throw this out? You want to keep going, Eddie?
Let's throw it out.
Okay. What was the word we were looking for? Was if you explore, you're searching, you're probing, you're searching.
Search.
Bad job by you guys.
Hunt.
Find might have been a good clue.
Might have been, but these guys, come on. Yeah. All right, go ahead, Andy. Anything but number 3. You're listening to Password, the word game of the stars.
I'll take number 10, Ben.
Number 10. All right. I know you're sick, so I hope that medicine's not messing with this. Let's go with, let's go with present.
Gift.
Yeah, there you go. Good job by you. You can put it on the board. 10-0. The lead back to Eddie we go. Anything, Fluffy Dave, except 3 and 10.
I'm going to go number 1.
Number 1.
Numero uno.
All right. Very exciting, Eddie. Number 1. Should be easy.
Yeah.
For me, La, 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 la.
Speak.
Let's go fortunate.
Blessed?
No.
That was a good guess, though.
Let's go with Andy Serendipity.
Oh, give me a break.
Come on. What am I not allowed? That's a great word, serendipity.
Serendipity.
There used to be an ice cream.
What was Eddie's?
I don't remember.
Who cares? It doesn't matter. You're not going to get it.
Serendipity.
Well, you've never heard the word serendipity before?
Yeah, back in the 1800s.
All right. Shut up.
Sarsaparilla, too. Golly. Horny?
There you go. There it is. Horny.
Okay. When in doubt, get horny. Ah, yes. No, that is incorrect. You're a big fan of the old Knicks coach, Jeff Hornacek. Back to you, Eddie. Here we go. Back up it.
Let's go, Fluffy Dave. Let's go with leprechaun.
Lucky.
Can we accept that?
Yeah, why not?
All right. It was luck. Yeah.
You're still losing. What is that? Like 6 points or something like that? I don't know. Something low.
Was it six? It was.
Back to us we go,
though.
It was
though. Eight. I think it was eight.
No, it wasn't eight.
I believe it was at least eight. Yeah, it was eight.
I don't think so. All right, back to Andy we go, who doesn't know what serendipity is, but we'll see if he knows this next word. Go ahead here, Andy. Anything but 1, 3, and 10. You're listening to Password, the word game of the stars.
Let's do number nine.
Number nine. All right, let's see. There's a couple ways I can go on this. Let's see. Which one do I want to go? Let's go with... Competition.
Game.
No. Bad job by you.
All right, Fluffy. We've had competition. He said game. I'm going to go with match.
Contest.
Yes! In the lead!
All right.
Come on, Ben.
Uh-oh. He's turning on you, Ben.
Well, this dope knew what serendipity was. We'd have the lead,
but this guy's a moron. They're turning on each other, Fluffy.
He thinks he's funny. He just says horny all the time. Horny's not funny. In the bedroom, it's fine.
Serendipity.
That's a bad
thing. Fluffy Dave, you win. Yeah, you got a golden ticket.
Loser, Andy.
I got a golden ticket. I'm stupid.